name's Jesse and I'm an addict.
Hey, Jesse.
And I want to first start out by saying I am not up here by choice. I'm up here because I was told to get my ass up here. And I'm nervous, so just bear with me. Hopefully it starts flowing. Someone in my home group actually approached me and asked me if I would do a workshop. And I was like, I'm getting married 3 weeks after that. Are you crazy? I'm not coming to the convention this year. That was my way out. Well, I'm standing here and I'm not in Laurel preparing for my wedding. So hopefully somebody gets something out of today. I got here when I was 20. And I had been around the program for a long time prior to that. My mother was in the program. So I had had some exposure to the program. And before I even get into that, let me back up a little bit. Growing up, I always felt like everyone else. Just didn't belong, didn't feel a part of. I came from an extremely dysfunctional family. By 9 years old, I had discovered pills in my stepmother's cabinet. And I don't know what possessed me to do it, but I took them. And what I found out at 9 years old was if I take these pills, I don't have to worry about all the drama and the chaos of my family at nine. And I wouldn't necessarily say I had a problem at that point, but that's where it started. It started very young. Attempted suicide at the first time, for the first time at 11. I just attended the meeting prior to this in this room, and the young lady was saying she always felt like she wanted to die. Like everything else was so hard for her, but death always seemed like the easy option. And for me, that was always the easier option, even at 11. You know, I'd rather be dead than deal with, you know, my alcoholic mother and my father that was never around. At eight, I had decided that it was time for my parents to get a divorce. And I told my mom, let's go pack me, you, and my four-year-old brother up and let's go. Because the alcohol, my dad climbing in the front door on his hands and knees because he was drunk all the time, just couldn't take it. I was in a very isolated world. I did not have any children interacting with me. It was just me and my brother in this world of survival. And, when I said I discovered those pills at nine, that just felt good to me. It made me not have to deal with reality. Got to high school, started, using. And I liked who that person was. I was fearless. You know, I'm not a very big girl to begin with, but if you get me wasted, I was, He-Man. I could take on anything, nobody bothered me, I could, didn't faze me. And I felt liked, I felt important. I was not a part of the popular crowd. I was never, I never felt pretty enough. I never felt accepted. I never felt, like I was a part of the in thing. And, when I got wasted, fuck you all, I didn't, oops, sorry, my daughter's in this room, other children, sorry about that. But I didn't care. I didn't care who you were or, who you thought you were. I was who was important. I could do anything and I didn't care what you thought. I'm gonna go ahead and skip past all the using stuff because I don't like dwelling on that because I think everybody knows how the hell they got here. It's not necessary what or how much you used. I've had people get conversations with me and say, at 20, how the hell do you know you have a problem? I know I have a problem because when people talk about the feelings that they have in here, whether they've used for, 5 days or they've used for 50 years, I can relate to those feelings, and those feelings are what I don't like. People tell me, well, you can just drink again. Drinking wouldn't bother you, would it? You've got your shit together. You have a good life. You have a good head on your shoulders. Okay, I don't care to find out. I like my life. I like what Narcotics Anonymous has given me, and I'm not willing to find out for one Miller Lite if it's worth it. I don't care. And a lot of people wouldn't understand that, but I don't care. I feel like when I am in these rooms, That whether I have met you or haven't met you, that you're family. Whether I know you on a regular basis or I see you in passing. I told my fiance is here with me, he's not in the program, and I said, have you ever been in such a large group of people that every time you bump into somebody, they're like, oh, I'm sorry, oh no, it's like everybody's so friendly. And I'm just like, where else can you go? That people are, there's like, you know, total opposites are like, oh no, it's okay, how you doing today? Like nobody, you know, seems to be bothered by that. We're a little cheat sheet here because I'm scatterbrained and I can't keep my mind straight. Anyway, I got here when I was 20. All I remember is I told my mother, well, my mother walked in my bedroom, and mind you, she's still drinking. At 20 years old, I was living in her house, and she walked in my bedroom door, and she saw a pile of coke, a pile of pills, a knife, and I can't really tell you what I was on a mission to do, but I think I was attempting to get rid of myself. I don't know that I really wanted to, but I don't want to live anymore. The only feeling I knew was sadness. I didn't know how to be happy. I didn't know what my likes were, what I enjoyed. I just knew I was depressed all the time. I knew that nothing made sense. I had to wake up, you know, to a bong hit, and then I would go from there, crack, pills, ecstasy, whatever it was. But I had to stay wasted all day. And worked in an office, managed to go out for a cigarette break, would smoke a cigarette, do a few more things, come back to work. Everybody just thought I was young and hyper and full of energy, but no, I was on track. And it's funny because, you know, they always say, you know, even after I got clean, I'd be like, didn't you notice? And they're like, no, you, we just thought you were hyper. And I'm like, okay. That works. So my mom told me, and you know, she was drunk, but she's like, you know, I know people, I know I can get you into rehab, you know, whatever, whatever. So I agreed. And I couldn't tell you that I had a problem. I wouldn't tell you I had a problem, because one thing I always vowed is I would never turn out to be like my mom. And you know, it's not that that's a bad thing. She just didn't know any better. She did the best she could, as did my father. And I still, to this day, struggle with both of those relationships. But you know what? I don't need their acceptance, and I'm getting better with that. I have so many people in these rooms that fill that void and that make that family that I don't necessarily have, that it makes it okay. And so I went to rehab, and in rehab, I'm sitting there, you know, I'm doing my thing, I'm, you know, the perfect rehab student, whatever, and I had a seizure. And when I had the seizure, they discharged me out of the rehab and sent me to Laurel Hospital, and, Columbia, Howard General. And I called them once everything was checked out by the doctors and was like, I need to come back. And they were like, well, that's too bad. You can't come back. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. I need to come back. I don't have anywhere to go. And they told me that I couldn't come back. So I hung up the phone and I went back to my bed and I just sat there. I'm like, where am I going to go? And then the nurse came out and he told me, you know, well, honey, who's coming to pick you up? And I was like, nobody. I'm not going anywhere. And he's just looking at me like, you gotta go. And I'm like, no, I can't go. And he's like, so I proceeded to tell him I was in rehab and how I got there. And he goes, you need to think of somebody to call. Here's a cigarette. Go smoke a cigarette and come back in. So I said, okay. And when I came back in, I'm sitting there waiting for him to come back to me because I thought he had this answer that where I could go. And I look across from me, and another nurse had pulled the curtain back, and there was just pills. Like, it just seemed like forever long, and there was just all these bottles of medication all over the place. And I don't know why that moment, it struck me, like, oh shit, you have a problem. If you don't get your ass back in that rehab, you're gonna die. Like, you're gonna go out here, and you're gonna blow your heart up, you're gonna do something, but you're gonna be miserable for the rest of your life. This, you gotta do something. And, I spent the next 2 days bouncing from bed to bed in that hospital, but I wasn't leaving there until that rehab took me back, and they took me back, and it's a 28-day program. I think I was there like 46 days or some craziness, but I got back, and when I got back in there, I took it very seriously, and I remember I was kind of adamant about going to the rehab, but when it's time to leave, I just didn't want to leave. Like, I felt like I was comfortable there. I felt safe there. And I felt like for the first time that things were looking up for a change. Things looked like they were going in the right direction. And so I left the rehab and I went straight to an Oxford house because I made a decision that I couldn't go back to my parents' house because, you know, my father, my stepfather, he's in the program. He's got double digits at this point. And my mom's still drinking, and I'm like, I don't feel like I can go back there because I feel like it's going to be a bad situation for me. So I went to an Oxford house, and staying in the Oxford house, and it's funny because, you know, you get in these rooms and you seem to think everybody's got it going on. And it doesn't take long to find out that not everybody's about recovery. And I'm in this Oxford house, and it's funny because I was so young, everybody looked at me as like their little sister, and the little, you know, their daughter, the person they had to take care of, and you know, that's how all the girls in my house were, but yet I could see all this craziness around me, all this lying, all this, you know, people were using, people are sleeping with, you know, everybody and their mother, and like, I'm looking at this going, this is not right, like something's not right, and you know, we're trying to be doing the right thing, and just all this crazy, and you know what, if that's your path, that's your path, but it just wasn't working for me, you know, and I kind of skipped something in there. I started to fill that void of what I was trying to find in happiness in my heart with, replace the drugs with men. Now, I justified what I was doing because I wasn't sleeping around with everybody. When I was with someone, I was dedicated, but I was with them for the wrong reasons. I wanted someone to make me feel better about myself, and that fixed it. It fixed everything. Regardless of what their motives were, regardless of if they really cared or not. And I always picked the ones I had to take care of. I always picked the ones that I had to fix. Because as long as I had to fix you, then you weren't going nowhere and you would make me feel better. So, I'm leaving this Oxford house, and the night before I left, my chore for the night was to clean the kitchen, and lo and behold, I find a crack pipe in the kitchen behind the trash can. I guess they missed the trash can. And I immediately left there and called a friend of mine who I was moving in with her, and I said, I just found a crack pipe. I'm like shaking like a leaf, and I'm like, what do I do? And she's like, get rid of it, step on it, like get rid of it, and you're coming to my house tomorrow, so are you okay? And I'm freaking out. But I get out of there and I go live with her, and there was a young men's house, it was for young guys, around the corner from the Oxford house, and I had met someone there. And I kind of justified it as I had the car, they didn't have a car, so I drove them all to the meeting. And we started dating, and that ended up in, we eventually, you know, we were dating, whatever, and get an apartment. And that ended in he was getting high in the bathroom. I just said he was a clean person and took 3-hour showers. not realizing, or let me back up, in denial that he was getting high in the bathroom. What a concept. Just crazy. You know, this disease will just, if you don't want to see it, you don't see it. And it's so much easier to not see it than face it. So I'm in that apartment, and meanwhile, I'm going to meetings. I have a sponsor who has a sponsor who has a sponsor. I talk to her every day, doing step work, which to this day, I will tell you, has, I think, changed my life 100%. There are some things I haven't been diligent with, but step work and calling my sponsor are the two number one things, and those two things have made me the person I am today. Coming to meetings, working step work, and talking to my sponsor every single day, because when I got here, I was 20, but I was messed up for a long time from a very young age. So I had to be taught, you know, I had to be taught everything, you know, how to act like a lady, because for some reason I thought I was just this cute little whatever, and I was, I don't know, I had this just cool personality going on. My shorts couldn't get short enough, and my top couldn't get tight enough, and I couldn't get enough showing. And I was, what, 65 pounds when I got here? So I didn't look that cute. No, I looked terrible. And so anyway, I had this apartment. We broke up. We all got together for New Year's at someone's house every year. And this year we were at the house, and this new face pops up, and I'm like, oh, wow, somebody else to go, I guess, get interested in, see if I can fix them. So I do, and I think I can. And he's in a house and gives me the poor blues about how bad this house is and how nobody likes him and they're all against him, and I say, move in with me. So he does. 30 days clean, and at this point, I think I had almost, like, 2.5 years clean, I think. So he was older, I was younger. But I had more clean time, so I knew better. I get pregnant. And then I wake up. And then I kick him out. But I say this to say that I was doing the right thing, and if he chose not to, I had responsibilities. I had things to take care of. I now had a child coming into my life that I was scared. I was scared, and all this happened because I was insecure about myself and wanted to feel needed. I don't even like saying love because, you know, I'm getting ready to get married, and I swear to this day, and he's, you know, we have a history of 10 years, and I look back, and when I was in rehab, my soon-to-be husband was the only one that came to rehab to see me. That's love. We weren't together, and he felt it necessary to come make sure I was okay. When something was wrong, that was the person that, you know, he cussed me out. You know, we had our moments, but that's the one that, even when I wasn't, you know, giving him what he needed, he was there. And that's what a real man does. So anyway, I get pregnant. And it's time to do big girl stuff, and I'm scared shitless. I went through a lot with that, and that's, I don't know. I say some of these things to say that you can get clean. Let me back up. I forgot to mention that I was 20. Okay, my clean date is August 12th, 2001. My birthday is August 6th, so I turned 21 6 days before my 1 year anniversary, and I'm panicking because I can't go to the bar legally. I always went to the bar. I didn't have to be legal, so. Like, I just remember looking back, and I still have the same sponsor today that I had back then, and I'm thinking to myself as I'm talking now, like, I must have looked like an asshole. Like, I was so panicked about not getting being able to go to the bar and walk in and be like, here's my ID, I'm 21. But it was that serious to me, like, that I told her I can't be alone. Like, don't leave me alone for the next 6 days because I need to make it to my 1 year. It was that important to me. And you know, that might seem foolish, but, you know, somebody out there might be going through that. And it sounds petty, but, you know, each stage of my life proposes new problems. And the qualities of those problems change. So, you know, today, well, let me back up. I went through another situation that challenged me, and I've always been a caretaker. You can imagine with an alcoholic mother and a dad that just isn't really even there, that I was always taking care of my mother, carrying her to the bathroom to, you know, throw up, taking care of my younger brother. So the taking care of people or worrying about everyone else before myself comes very natural to me. And that's something currently, as I go into my new life with, you know, our daughter and my new husband, that I want to change, because I don't need to take care of everyone else. I need to take care of me. And I have a hard time with that because I seem to think that, like, I'm the only one that can take care of anything, and everything in this world's going to fall apart if I don't touch it. My cousin, who we're about the same age, and this is on my mom's side, alcohol, especially alcoholism, but addiction runs very heavily on my mom's side of the family, well, on both sides, but really on hers. My cousin, who is a couple years younger than me, there was two cousins out of all of us that really had their stuff together. My one cousin who became a doctor, and then this cousin, Ryan, he partied and he, you know, he did his thing, but he was always a good kid. He always, you know, did good in school. You know, he did party, but, you know, he wasn't an addict. Well, I want to say it was a year ago, February, not this February, but a year ago, February, I get a phone call that he'd been in an accident and he was in a coma, and he'd been drinking. And I struggled with this accident so bad. One, because I'm obsessed. I obsess on everything. So I obsessed over why him. He has a sister that's a heroin addict that just is out there. And even me, I mean, I'm clean, but, you know, I did so much worse in my life than he ever did. Why him? You know. Why did he have to be the one that gets in the accident? He's now a paraplegic, and he has his whole life in front of him. And I'm coming around to the realization that, you know, God has a plan for everyone, and just because I don't understand it doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it wrong. But it's his plan, and none of us know that. But That was something I struggled with, and I'm trying to share things I went through to show you that you can be young, you can get clean, you can go through things, and you don't have to use. That was hard for me, that the pregnancy was hard for me, but never once did I feel like using. Well, let me retract that statement. I felt like using sometimes, but it wasn't worth throwing it all away. I think the fear of having to pick up a white key tag is what kept me here. You know, it's whatever works for you. But for me, it was just, I don't know that I could humble myself to bring myself back in here and pick up a white key tag. I don't know that I could do that. And if I don't want a chance if I would be able to walk back in here or not. I've seen a lot of people pass away in here, as either a direct result of this addiction or, you know, just things happen, life happens. I have so much to be grateful for today. I'm losing train of thought at this point. You know, I have a good career. I recently was with my job, the part of my job, I work for Verizon Wireless, and I work in the government section of it, and had an opportunity to be involved in some pretty big things and dealing with the government. You know, it's just funny because I grew up in Frederick, I grew up on a farm, and I'm thinking, why me? Like, this just seems huge to be a small girl from a small town who had a fucked up life, who didn't, who didn't ever feel like I had anything to offer, and here I am, you know, dealing with people in the government that, you know, are important people. But I make an impact in their lives every day, and in the work that I do. You know, I'm able to afford my own vehicles, and more so than that, I love my future husband to death, but if anything happened to me, I could stand on my own 2 feet, or happened to us, I could stand on my own 2 feet. You know, I could take care of my daughter. And know that it's gonna be okay. Like, you don't understand the concept I had of myself six years ago that, you know, I would never be, I never thought anybody would want to marry me. That was just never in the books. That was never going to happen. I would be alone for the rest of my life. I love children. And it's funny because now that I have one, I'm like, but wouldn't change it for anything. I really feel, you know, and I talked a little bit about God, I am just beginning at 6 years, and it takes what it takes to get an understanding of God. But looking back, my daughter was God's decision to put her in my life to straighten my ass out. Because she slowed me down. She gave me a reason to think about someone other than myself and being selfish. This program can offer you so much. I'm not, and I keep saying I'm a lot, I'm so nervous, I'm sorry. I couldn't imagine my life would be as good as it is today, that I'd be getting married. We're getting ready to, you know, hopefully buy a house. We have to decide if we want to move or not out of the state, but the opportunities that I have today are just overwhelming. And majority of where this has all come from is the people in this room, in these rooms. I've learned how to be a mother in this room. I've learned to be, you know, a dependable employee in this room. I've learned how to be, you know, a friend. Like I said before, I was always looking at the guys and which guys were going to be the ones that come into my life that I can fix to make me feel better. But when I started to get away from that after I had my daughter and get with the women, that's when my life really started to change, because the women could offer me what they couldn't. I just, give yourself a chance. I'm really actually shocked I talked the whole time, but give yourself a chance. You know, I hear people say all the time, you know, just give it some time. It's always gonna be out there. You can go back out there and use and try it again, and then just let us know, you know, it's not getting any better out there. It's, you know, and I don't know that for a fact because I never relapsed, but I don't want to. I don't want to. I don't want to find out if it's any better out there. I enjoy my life today. Give yourself a chance. You know, if you're a newcomer, just keep coming back. You know, give yourself opportunity to make your life what you never thought it could be, it could be. So I really hope someone got something out of that, and if you didn't, there's meetings going on all night. So I'm going to go to another meeting. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Jesse. Please help me in welcoming our second speaker, Marie B.
Hi, fam. My name is Marie, and I'm an addict.
Hey, Marie.
I just want to thank God. I am real nervous. And I lost my voice yesterday. So I've been on a speaking band, a no speaking band. And he's trying to get me again. But I'm here for a purpose, to give a message. Can I back this up? Because I don't really need it close to my mouth because I speak loud. Can I get some help?
Thank you, sir.
I'm honored. I just want to thank the area for selecting me. My heart is racing. I'm overwhelmed. I'm overjoyed. And I thank him for just removing me and man out of the way. Because he say, baby, it's your time. And I'm only here to share a clear message. Not a confusion message. Not a makeup message. Not somebody else's message. But mine, that's all I have. And my topic is came here young, came to stay. And I'm real nervous.
It's all right, baby. Love you.
And I thank you for sharing. That's all we have. It's ours.
Yeah, come on, girl.
And when I came here, they told me that I wasn't going to stay. That I wasn't going to make it. When I came here, I didn't look the way I look now. I wasn't feeling the way I'm feeling right now. I was messed up from the floor up. See, and I need to share, I need to take you prior to me getting here because somebody needs to identify. Somebody needs to know that they're in the right place. Because see, you really don't know me. See, you're looking at the outer appearance of what I look like right now. See, I'm talking about before I got here. We're talking about came here young. When I came here, I was 22. I was 22 years old. And I really didn't want to be here. Y'all didn't send for me. Y'all ain't sent for me in no email. Huh? Ain't nobody text message me. I got sick and tired of being sick and tired of doing a lot of things that I've done to myself. And for real, because I didn't know any better, I blame everybody else but me. And what I did, it's not about I need to tell you what I went through prior to getting here. See, I lived to use and I used to live. Everybody can identify with that, huh? But I did some things that I'm not proud of, but because I'm free and I've done some work on me, I'm not ashamed of. See, when I came here, I was a prostitute, huh? I walked up and down Minnesota Avenue, huh? Trick or lick or whatever. Whatever, it really didn't make no difference. Because if you had what I wanted it. It didn't matter. I'm talking about being sick and tired of being sick and tired. And see, everybody knew I had a problem but me because I look so good. I'm talking about 90 pounds. Three shades darker, you feel me? Three shades darker, and walking up and down Minnesota Avenue trying to switch. Huh? But because I can just get one, I was all right. In the pamphlet that I was reading, it talked about youth and recovery, the IP. Read the literature. It talks about hitting bottom. So before, prior to me getting here, I had to go through some things to hit bottom. Because see, had I not hit bottom, I'd probably be still there running. I'd still be out there doing the things that I thought I liked to do. Because I didn't like me. You feel me? I'm talking about, you know, sleeping in abandoned cars and living in abandoned buildings. Thinking that I live there, but you got to get out of there because this belonged to me. And if you ain't get here before me, nigga, you got to go. Huh? That's mine. I was said first. Did whatever. I'm talking about degradation, isolation, desperation, utter despair. Not like me because a lot of the things that I done to me that I thought that made me feel good. Young, I didn't know no better. And I know prior to me getting here, a lot of things that was embedded in me as a child. I'm talking about resentment. I'm talking about abandonment issues. I'm talking about hatred. And I'm not blaming none of them. But I got to talk about it so somebody else can be able to identify, to know that they're in the right place. You heard? That you're in the right place. And when I got time, I'm talking about walking up and down Minnesota Avenue. I'm talking about being numb from the waist down. I'm talking about laying down doing something that I really didn't want to do. I'm talking about buying that last one and it didn't even really get me high anymore. Huh? Didn't get me high no more. I was numb. And I wanted just to cover up and put all that stuff on the inside of me so I wouldn't have to feel. I didn't want to feel nothing. Talking about being despising your mother and being verbally and mentally and spiritually abused and not knowing where to go. Because I ain't nowhere to go. So I ran to the streets. And I thank God that my process was only 2.5 years. But if you saw me, honey, it looked like I was out there forever. Huh? I'm talking about walking around with chlamydia, gonorrhea, and syphilis. Huh? And only before his grace that I didn't catch the virus. Only. I'm not ashamed. Shame? I did it. All right. You did it too. Huh? What? But I got a chance so I can get free to make somebody else feel comfortable so they can get free. You feel me? Because that's my past. And when I got tired, talking about walking on Minnesota Avenue and being tired, and all I can remember is sitting on the curb talking about God. Please show me the way. Help me. Show me the way. I knew that it had to be another way. I remember seeing a commercial on TV talking about, this is your brain. This is your brain. This is crack and it cracked the egg. So right then and there from that commercial, I knew it was a better way. I thank God for sending me. Because I remember my clean date is June the 21st, 1990. And I have not, under no circumstances, found it necessary to use physically. Y'all hear me? Use physically. Huh? Because I don't want to. Y'all told me I don't have to. But the topic said, came here young, came to stay. Now in the literature, it talks about what I need to do to stay. Huh? What I need to do to stay. See, I could dress real good, because see, I did this when I was on the streets, right? See, the hair was tight, the clothes were tight, so that's how I really got a trick for real, because I was skinny bones. Huh? And I could come in here, and I could dress this thing up, and I could make y'all think that everything is all right, but it ain't even about the outside, it's about what's on the inside. Now, I'm talking about being here, huh? Being here for 10 years. Doing a 1-2-3-4 shuffle. Listen, newcomer. Doing a 1-2-3-4 shuffle and thinking that I'm all right. I'm talking about I need to stay. I'm talking about came to stay. And the disease is so cunning and baffling that it had me tricked. Thinking that because I wasn't using, I'm all right. Because I look good, because I can dress good, because y'all taught me how to talk good, huh? I'm all right. But baby, the disease on the inside that you can't see when I'm by myself, when you're not looking, when the sponsor not around. Oh, if I had one. Oh, let me see. Oops. If I had one, I'm talking about showing up for the dances and dancing, dropping like it's hot and all that. And, you know, ripping the runway, because I rip it. Huh? I'm talking about ripping the runway. Lip sync. And all that. But all that ain't gonna keep me here. Yeah. The job, the money, the relationship, that ain't gonna keep me here. Yeah. I need to stay. So in the process of staying, that means I need to do some work. Yeah. If you're here, it's only through His grace and His mercy. But if you wanna stay here, see, you can stay here and be sick.
Yeah. Ooh. Yeah. Uh-oh, watch it, bro.
You can be clean and stay here. Right. Don't do the work. Yep. Sick. Sick as me. Mm-hmm. And looking good. Huh? Yeah. I'm talking about being tired. I'm talking about being here and having 10 years and being tired. I'm talking about hearing somebody in a meeting share and being able to identify because I had not cleaned up some of that wreckage, some of that garbage. I'm talking about my sponsor talking about having a sore and then the wound being open. And all I did with the sore is put more stuff on top of the sore and put a Band-Aid on top of it. Talking about, I'm all right. I'm all right. And then when I hear somebody share the exact nature, I'm crying, I'm balled up. I don't know what to do. But y'all keep telling me what to do because I want to stay here. I want to stay here. And I'm not ashamed to admit it. In 10 years, when I had 10 years, I got tired of me. I got sick and tired of me. And I found me a sponsor. And every time I show up, she was right there. She didn't judge me. She allowed me to be who I am. She allowed me to cry. She didn't beat me up. And I kept going to them step meetings. And I kept sitting down. And even though I didn't understand what was going on, I still stayed. See, I got tired of the who doing who? It ain't hotline. Gossip click. Get with, knit with. And I need to be somewhere where I could save my life. Even though I didn't understand. You don't have to understand. They say we work in the steps long before we tap into it. Long before we tap into it. And I just surrender on another level. I just surrender. I say, God, let thy will be done, not mine. Allow me to move out the way so you can use me. I know I'm here for a reason. I know I look cute, you know, but I'm here. It's bigger than me. It ain't about me. See, once I move to self-centeredness and self-seeking and self-loathing and all those things out the way and allow Him in the third step to take charge because I made a decision to turn my will and my life over to the care of God, then that means I need to move. That means I need to move. And what happened? He took charge. He used another human being to direct my life. Okay, we in here, we young. I don't need nobody telling me what to do. I'm grown and all that. Yeah, well, if you was grown, you wouldn't be here. Huh? How about that? If you was grown, you wouldn't be here. I need somebody to tell me what to do. I am 40 years old. I need somebody to tell me what to do. I still need somebody to direct my life. I still need to show up at my sponsor's house. I still need to go to the step study group. I still need to help the addict that still suffer. I still need to help the addict that don't look like me. Huh? They ain't got to look like me. Talking about I want to stay here. Because you ain't with my clique. I can't hug you. No. No. I'm here to stay. I came to stay. And I did not know it was this much work. Say, God grant us the knowledge that we may write according to your divine precepts. Instill in us a sense of your purpose. Make us servants of your will and grant us born of selflessness that this may truly be your work, not ours, in order that no addict anywhere need die for the horrors of addiction. So what I'm saying is you ain't got to die to the horrors of addiction. Because it will rob you. Even though I think I'm cute, a lot of times it will back me up in a wall and God will show me that I am not in charge. I do not have the power. I'm here to stay. They told me I wasn't going to make it. I'm here to stay. It's a whole lot of work in this process, but I'm here to stay. I go to meetings every day. I'm married. Faithfully married. I have two teenage boys. My son was 7 months when I got here. He's 18. They ain't have to see me in this process, but they know what's going on. And I'm living. I know I'm living the program. I have women looking up to me, my small C's. To do his will and not mine. And I really did not know that this thing was going to be like this. But I'm here to say, you can't kick me out. You can't tell me what to do. You can't tell me to shut up, keep coming back. You understand? If you're a newcomer, share. Share where you at. You ain't got to be where I'm at. You ain't got to be on my level. You ain't got to have worked no steps. Share. Be who you are. We need you. I need you. Because I have to give it away. I can't keep it. You know, I'm in service, man. I'm up to here. I love it. I'm on H&I. I just was nominated for East of the River Special Event, East of the River Special Event Chairperson. They selected me. You know, when I don't think that I can do something. See, it's not about I, it's about we. Because I can't do nothing by myself. I have a support group. I have a support system. I have a lot of people in here that know me, that love me, even if you know of me. We all connected some kind of way. In some kind of way. You don't have to like me, but I ain't even, you know, God is so good. I'm not even worried about that. I'm not even worried about nobody not liking me. I didn't come here for you. Because you know what? If you tap into my spirit, you will. Because under all this, and you know, I portray an image, you know, because, because I come from Southeast. And I like to fight. But because I have a working knowledge of the steps, and because I have a relationship with the God of my understanding, he changed me in spite of. I have not put my hands on nobody in almost 18 years. I did not come here for that. I have done a lot of work, and there's still a lot more to be done. My work is not done. I have not arrived. I do not have all the answers. I still show up, and I treat the next person just like they're like everybody else. I don't put nobody up here. I don't put myself up here. I'm right here. We're on the same level at all times. Because I'm not better than nobody. I'm just better off. And I have to be on the same level. Because see, if I'm up here and you down there, you can't reach me. We need to be here at all times. So that when you reach your hand, I can reach you. You know, I was reading, Just for Today, Living the Program, and it talks about the spiritual principles regarding the steps. And they talk about honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness. And those are the steps. You can break it down any way you want. But if you read Just for Today, those are the basic spiritual principles that I need at all times. And even though I may not be practicing them when I'm not tapped into the power, but I am. I'm living them. I'm living because Perez says rigorously honesty. See, anybody could be honest, but I'm talking about in the literature it says rigorously honesty on page 92. It's the most important tool to learn to live for today. Although honesty is difficult to practice, it is most rewarding. Honesty is the antidote to our diseased thinking. Huh? It's that honesty is the antidote to my diseased thinking. And when I'm not connected, my thinking can go another way. I can't stand here and say, because I'm here. I'm talking about staying here. My disease and my thinking sometimes go another way. I'm not always together. I'm not always on track. Sometimes I like to act out. Sometimes I want to be this dishonest. I'd be lying to you if I told you I'm honest all the time. I'm a human being. And I am going to fall short. But what this 10th step tells me is that I am a human being. And when I do, see, if I continue to take a personal conscious inventory of me, and I continue to look at me, I need to promptly admit it when I'm wrong. It's not even about you no more. It's about me. The second one says, being open-minded. See, because see, a lot of times when I don't really want to identify, or I can't identify, or when my self-centeredness is sitting in, I'm really not hearing you. Then really I'm gritting and going through all that hating, because this is her story. You know what I'm saying? But it says being open-minded allows us to hear something that might save our life. And see, I'm not really focused on a situation. I'm talking about being focused on the pain, being able to relate. Because even though I have not gone through what you may have gone through, or what you may have gone through, I can identify with the pain. And that's what's going to allow me to continue to be open. A closed mind can't go nowhere. I need to think outside the box. And he said, okay, well, it worked for her. And maybe. Because when I was out there and they said it was good and JoJo and Bobo had it, I ain't think twice. I wanted to go get it quick, so why can't I flip that thing? It says open-mindedness leads us to a very insight that have eluded us during our lives. But it says honesty, open-mindedness, and willingness work hand in hand. You cannot have one and not have the other. If you are, or if you do, or think you do, call your sponsor. They all go hand in hand. It says the lack of one of these principles, I'm on page 93 in the basic text. The lack of one of these principles and our personal program can lead to relapse. And when I hear the word relapse, I automatically get scared, but I'm not scared anymore because what it says is that I can relapse physically, mentally, and spiritually. You understand? And thank God that I haven't relapsed physically. Thank you. But I have relapsed spiritually and mentally. And they all work hand in hand. 1, 2, and 3, honesty. 4, 5, and 6, open-mindedness. You know, it goes honesty, open-minded, willingness. Honesty, open-minded, willingness. That's how it is. It's real simple, you know. And that's kind of like what I'm doing. I'm here. I'm in service. I'm happy. I heard somebody share in another one of the workshops. If you ain't here and you're not happy, something is wrong. I am really enjoying my life. I mean, regardless and in spite of whatever I've been through, what I'm going through, and what's yet to come, I am really enjoying this new way of life. I've lived the best. I have lived the best almost 18 years of my life. All these wonderful people that I'm meeting, the ones that I have not met, the ones that are yet to come, because he's moving me out the way, and he's bringing them in my life. And I don't have nothing else to do but surrender and help, because it's not about me no more. You know, and I got to keep coming back, because I don't have nowhere else to go. I have nowhere else to go. This is my life. You know, I'm here to stay. I came at 22. I thank God. I turned 40 last month. And I'm here to stay. Thanks, ladies.